Hello and welcome to Roster Doctor, where we fix up your roster. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, Pat from Across the Bifrost. How's it going, sir?
Oh, it's going really well, thank you. It is an honor and a privilege to be in the doctor's surgery. Thank you for having me.
Well, in a bit of an outlier for this show, this episode is actually going out almost exactly 24 hours from when we're recording it. So we're right on the beginning of AcrossTheBifrost.com. How's that going for you?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. So really good timing. We launched Across the Bifrost Nexus this week, and it's going really well. The purpose of Across the Bifrost Nexus is really just to bring so much of the awesome community content that has been created for MCP into one place. The idea being that if we make it easy to find, the more people are going to find it, right? It's been amazing to see how much content has been created by the community, and it's getting to the point where it's tough to get a handle on everything. So hopefully people will find the Nexus useful just as a way to collect content and make it more accessible.
Yeah, and I'm, spoiler alert, I'm part of it. I'm very excited to be part of the Across the Bifrost Nexus. I've been looking for more ways to get my content out. I'm even looking at doing articles and potentially videos, specifically because the site makes it more appealing to put out content because there's going to be a bigger audience, and I really just want to help this grow into kind of the MCP hub of content. I'm super stoked about this.
Awesome. I'm really glad. To your point about making it easier to create content, that is my hope as well, that more people will be encouraged to take their first steps into contributing to the community through content creation, because there'll be a place where they can bring their content and make it visible.
Yeah, and this episode is doubly special because you're part of a two-parter for the X-Men release alongside your co-host, Sung-Soo. He covered Brotherhood. We're covering, obviously, the X-Men half. How have you been liking X-Men so far?
Yeah, I love them. I think they are really, really fun. What I've been finding for X-Men in general is the characters are all pretty flexible. They have a good number of different abilities, so they're useful in a lot of different situations. But if I were to summarize how they work together as a team, I'd say they're pretty mobile and they're pretty resilient, and that gives them a lot of game on the table.
Yeah, that sounds like you're playing Storm as your leader a lot of the time over Cyclops, when you mention mobility and tankiness, which are the two key features of her leadership. How often are you playing Cyclops as the leader?
Not too often. I do think that the characters individually are mobile and tough, but you're right that Storm's leadership pushes that over the top, and it really emphasizes that strength. Cyclops, to me, is the more specialized choice, where I only take him as the leader if I have a very specific plan in mind, and usually on very specific crises. And Storm is more of the all-rounder that I tend to be planning with her in mind when I'm building my roster.
Yeah, I honestly have not played Cyclops as the leader much, if at all, at this point. But I have theorized that maybe there's a way to abuse his beam or some other really nasty spenders early on Gamma or something, where you can really force your opponents into a tight cluster and make a big splashy attack. But Storm is obviously the default leader for the X-Men. If you cut her leadership in half, either the mobility bit or the cover bit, she'd probably still be the default leader for X-Men, and having both of them together is just incredible.
Yeah, it's a crazy strong leadership, and you're right that I think it is arguably equivalent to two leaderships. And because Cyclops is so specialized in his leadership, it doesn't surprise me when you say you think Storm gets taken more often. That's definitely been my experience too.
Yeah, and continuing on that Storm theme, this is going to be not much of a spoiler for the listeners if they read the title, but this is going to be a X-Men Wakanda combo roster, because I'm gaga on Storm. I think she's insane in X-Men. She's a great slot into Wakanda. Five wide Wakanda forever is the dream, right?
Yeah, it definitely is, and it's one of these things that's new for us. We know Wakanda is great. Wakanda have been a really powerful, really competitive team ever since their release, and having a new toy to play with them is really exciting. So this list gives us kind of two different kinds of new hotness in one, right? We get to play with the X-Men, who are brand new and exciting, and we get to breathe new life into Wakanda.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's just get into the roster itself. So for the characters down the line, we've got Beast, Black Panther, Cyclops, Shuri, Okoye, Killmonger, Storm, Wolverine, MODOK, and Toad. So essentially, that's all of the Wakanda releases, all of the X-Men releases, and then MODOK and Toad on top. And I would say the X-Men and the Wakanda stuff is very self-explanatory because they're so compact affiliations. You probably want to take all four of them, or I guess five now for Wakanda. Like whenever you're planning on playing them. So I really want to focus in on MODOK and Toad. So MODOK is an interesting one to me. I think MODOK's the thing that goes with everything, right? I think he loves Storm's teleport ability. It's essentially a free Red Skull teleport. He loves free cover. I think he's very happy to play in X-Men. I think he's perfectly fine in Wakanda. The rerolls, but vibranium shielding on a 10 stamina character can be really impressive. It's essentially turning MODOK into the front side of Thanos almost. Worse physical defense, but more stamina to compensate.
Yeah, well said. I think MODOK is just superb with Storm's leadership. The movement aspect of the leadership is very similar to something like Red Skull, right? That makes MODOK shine in Cabal. We've seen how effective that can be. It works on a single character in a round, so why not make it a really powerful, flexible character like MODOK, where you're going to get a lot out of it? And the fact that it works better with bigger bases, MODOK's got a big base. Her range cover encourages use of longer range characters and characters that are able to move people away. And MODOK has those aspects as well. So I think he just fits perfectly into the unaffiliated spot for X-Men.
Yeah, and then on the other end, we've got Toad. In general, I'm becoming increasingly enamored with having two twos in most of my rosters. If you have at least one affiliated two in the main affiliation you're playing, just because being able to turn a four into two twos in a pinch, or there's a lot of little math that opens up a ton of options that we're going to get into here. I think this breaks the record for most team combinations of any roster on the show so far. It's quite up there. Every threat value is somewhere between like 20 and 40 options. It's incredibly
Jeez.
high. Yeah.
Yeah, and
And a
you're
lot
right.
of that's
The
on the
two-twos
back.
definitely. Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, you're right. A lot of that is exactly as you said, on the back of the fact we've got these two threat characters, right? That massively increase the number of choices. And in particular, we can combine that with the fact we now have five affiliated Wakandans to make a very high model count list.
Yeah, theoretically, you could go eight wide if there was enough of a like a high enough threat crisis in the game. Obviously, I don't think there is, because all four Wakandans add up to 16, 17.
They are, I know you didn't want
Four,
to do
four,
maths on the
three, three,
show, but they
two.
are 4, 4, 2, 3, 3, 16. So if
Yeah,
we had a
16.
third two threat character, we could go eight wide.
Yeah. We would need a 22 threat crisis, but theoretically you could go eight wide. But enough about math. Yeah, I think most of this roster speaks for itself in characters. So let's just move on to tactics. And here we've got a very restricted set of cards. So we've got Children of the Atom, Advanced R&D, All You've Got, Field Dressing, Med Pack, Vibranium Shielding, Wakanda Forever, and Usurp the Throne. And I'm gonna take the heat for this tactic selection because I was the one who pitched this episode to you. I think this is probably too much faction and character locked cards, especially three for Wakanda, Because that essentially means when you're playing X-Men, unless you're willing to splash Killmonger for Usurp, you're playing Children of the Atom, Advance R&D, all you've got, Field Dressing, Med Pack, no discussion.
Yeah, no options at all there. Which is really awkward. And you're right, that's definitely tough. I mean, I think with Wakanda, we could cut down that number. I think the only one that is an absolute must-have is, of course, Wakanda Forever. And then the other two could be sacrificed. I think it's really tricky on the X-Men side because they've got three affiliated cards that are all fine and a similar power level. So it can be hard to decide which ones you're going to take. And then on top of that, you have certain characters. And when I say certain characters, I'm looking at Wolverine, who have a lot of unaffiliated cards that make them very powerful but don't really work for anybody else. And so that really puts a lot of pressure on the tactics cards options for this list.
Yeah, I really want to get Exceptional Healing or Weapon X into here, but with how locked up this is, it just wasn't feasible. And we'll get into that in the changes at the end, but I think we've identified a pain point here in the tactics cards for sure. Moving on to crises. So for extracts, we've got Mutant Extremists target U.S. senators. Fear grips world as worthy terrorized cities. Struggle for the cube continues. And then for secures, we've got Gamma Wave sweeps across Midwest. Mayor Fisk vows to find missing witnesses, and Demons Downtown has our comeuppance come due. So here we've got a bit of an E force on the secure, but our extracts are a lot more diverse. All three different deploy types, all three different threat values. I think the extracts are fine to play on, but we definitely have a much more concentrated game plan here on our secures.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the things that's interesting about the roster that we've chosen is Wakanda and X-Men are both quite flexible in the crises they can play anyway. But when you pair them together, I think we have really great flexibility on which crises we want. And that's reflected in this list, right? Where this is not a roster that is necessarily telegraphing that it wants to play a certain kind of game plan. It's one where it has a lot of options in its crisis selection, and hopefully that means it can pick something that's going to be advantage for it against whatever opponent it's facing.
Yeah, and I like how we have the backdoor of forcing the traditional Wakanda wave if we get priority. I don't think Demons Downtown is as typically a good Wakandan crisis as Gamma Wave, but I think there's a lot of brawl to be done here. Getting free incinerate on your opponents can really help tune up somebody like Cyclops or Wolverine that kind of depends on using their builder to generate enough power to go off.
Yeah, definitely the way I see this roster functioning, the Wakandans are my first choice if the threat value is lower, and the X-Men are the more brawly option, especially because they've got this powerful MODOK, right? Empowered by Storm's leadership, MODOK is superb at Demons Downtown, and he's no slouch on Gamma. And I think they are the go-to choice if you're playing a higher threat and you want to dish out some damage.
100% agreed. The more characters you have, the more cover comes into play as a scaling advantage from Storm. You've got a lot of heavy hitters you like to play, and they tend to synergize a little bit better with X-Men than they do with Wakanda. So I think whenever you're going high threat, if you force Demons Downtown, hell, I mean, we'll get into this later, but you can just play X-Men across the board plus MODOK, and I think you're pretty happy with that setup, regardless of what the extract is.
Yeah, that gives you the full 19, five characters. The X-Men are all perfectly capable of any extract, so that seems great to me.
So with that, why don't we just jump straight into 14 threats? So this is only mutant extremists for now. It sounds like we're looking for a Wakanda team here. I think the highest priority is to go five wide here. the more I've played Mutant Extremists, I want to be able to play a spread across all three of the extract columns, with two people in the center and two people on one of the flanks, and then one person on the other one. So, what are you thinking for 14 threat here?
So I also like the option to go five wide, and because we've got these two threat characters and a cheap base, we have a lot of options for what we can do at five ride, even at 14, which is great luxury, honestly, compared to some rosters. I think whether you pick X-Men or Wakanda for this crisis is very much going to depend on what Secure it's paired with. And I think you could go either way. And the main reason I say that is because, in my opinion, I don't know what you think about this, but in my opinion, when you're playing Missing Senator, you want to be taking advantage of the fact that whoever is holding the senator is in the middle of the table and is quite vulnerable. And so you want to have a good amount of hitting power to kind of ensure that you can take control of the senator regardless of who picks it up first. And then you want to have characters who can run with it. There's no shortage of characters who can run with it in this team, right? Toad being the MVP, as a two threat option who can fit into so many different rosters. But depending on your opponent's roster and the crisis, I think you might decide that the pushes in Wakanda are not what you want, and you might choose X-Men. Although in general, I do agree with you that probably I'd be looking at Wakanda first.
Yeah, I could see going either way here. So the two ones that I'm looking at, so the X-Men one would be Storm, Beast, Wolverine, Okoye, Toad, where you try and leverage Storm's leadership and Toad to try and get two quote unquote safe attempts at the extract. Because with the mobility of Storm's leadership, depending on who it is, you should be able to single move to the extract, pick it up, and then walk back. And then Toad with range two, you're a little bit safer. I think Beast can make it with a single move because of its base size. I might be off on that one.
He is a medium mover on a medium-sized base. He can't get to the center in one move,
No,
but
with
he can.
Storm's placement
Oh,
effect.
yes. So an important point about Storm's placement that people may not be aware of, and it was in fact clarified on the rules forum just yesterday, but you can place models within 1 inch of themselves. You don't necessarily need a buddy to teleport. And that's very important when you're planning crisis in these first turns, because like you said, Beast or Toad can teleport 1 inch forwards and then with one move go and grab one of these extracts, which is really, really strong.
So I definitely like that because a lot of the time, if you get the extract, I don't want to say you've won the game, but it definitely feels like a round one ship core pickup or something like that, where it's so skewed in your favor. Because since it's giving you a 2 victory point per turn differential, it's very hard to make up that difference on any scenario that isn't gamma.
Yeah, if you've got the extract, you don't need to worry about secures, right? You can be losing on secures and still winning the game. And it makes your opponent's life difficult because they can't just spread their characters across the table when they need to hunt down the extract carrier. And what I like about that particular roster that you mentioned is it's got a lot of characters who are good at protecting the extract, despite the fact they get reduced defenses, right? The fact that Toad can use Slippery, Storm potentially has stealth, and Beast is just pretty resilient with his defensive rerolls and his 6 stamina on his healthy side. I would feel pretty confident with that team going into that crisis.
Yeah, a bit of an aside on Beast, but honestly, if it weren't for the wild mandatory place on his attack, I would seriously consider him for like top five 3-cost characters to splash to a team, just across
Yeah,
the board.
he's good. He's good. I agree with you. I think he's really strong. His throw is great. His resilience is great. His mobility is great. And although the wild is a pain when it fails you one way or the other, right? When you need it and it doesn't come up, or when you don't want it and it does, both of those can really hurt. I think despite that, I've really liked him and I'm always happy to have him in my X-Men teams.
Yeah, I'm always happy to have him in my X-Men teams. I'm fine with splashing him into my Wakanda teams here, but
Yes.
I don't think I would ever jam him into a roster where X-Men isn't an option just because of that. But it's so close. But enough about Beast. The Wakanda roster that I would look at is basically all Wakandans less Killmonger plus Toad. And I think that's just generically fine.
So those Wakandans would be Black Panther, Storm, Shuri, Okoye, Toad.
Yeah.
Another five character list. Yeah, it's good. I mean, those two rosters are very similar, right? They've got three of the same characters. It's the question of, do you want a 4-point X-Man, so Cyclops or Wolverine, plus Beast, or would you rather have Black Panther and Shuri? And then, of course, you're comparing the leaderships, the tactics cards. They're both strong. Like I said, I think the secure might push it one way or the other for me. So, for example, if we're playing like Gamma Wave at 14, I would much prefer this Wakanda roster.
Yeah, and speaking of Gamma, let's just kick on up to 15 threat. So 15 threat, you have to be playing Gamma or you have to be playing Herbs. Unless I'm forgetting one. I'm not. For some reason, I keep on thinking that Montesi formula is 15 threat, and I don't know why. It's seared into my brain. Go ahead.
Yeah, so at 15, I mean, we've got to just mention, you said it already, right? But you're playing Gamma, you've got to remind our listeners something you already said, which is you can play a classic Wakanda Wave, mm-hmm. And that's always going to be good on Gamma Wave, right? It's named after that crisis for a reason. The interesting thing about this Wakanda Wave is some of the character options are slightly non-conventional. Mm-hmm. And in particular, you now have Storm, right? Who is a second affiliated three cost. So that gives you different options for how you build the Wakanda team. Which loadout for Wakanda do you like at 15?
So personally, I think the default here is Black Panther, Storm, Beast, Shuri, Okoye.
Mm. So that is a good team for sure. Beast is a mobile, resilient character with a throw, which is perfect for Wakanda Wave. Storm can have a place on objectives or holding an extract. She can sit on the back Gamma Shelter, give Shuri a bit more freedom in her angles for pushes. And she herself is really hard to deal with because of her stealth. I don't think in a vacuum Storm is the best choice for three threat character in Wakanda Wave, but because she's affiliated and the fact that she can use Wakanda forever, plus her stealth on Gamma in particular, I think she's a perfectly fine choice.
Yeah, I think there's stuff like Valkyrie, potentially even Ock or Ghost Spider that have seen a lot of play that might fit better into the boilerplate Wakanda Forever. But I also really like her because she's got a range 3 throw that works on characters. So yes, she can sit back and throw people out of attacking range of her and off of the scenario, which can have some very potent interactions. Her attacks are okay, not great. But even just handing out shock and stun with a little bit of luck can really help the Wakandans' game plan of come out strong and then try and weather the storm for the rest of the game, limiting your opponent's ability to do damage can be really valuable.
I'm glad you said that because I think it's not to be understated. I do think that is what Storm is bringing to the team. Like, oftentimes when you're playing Wakanda at this threat level, you don't care about killing your opponents, right? You just need to control them long enough to win. And having low damage attacks with really good status effects do play into that plan.
Yeah. Do you see yourself playing any X-Men teams at 15 on Gamma? I mean, I had talked previously about theoretically playing a Cyclops-led team on Gamma, but I'm not sure if you want to play it at the proper 15 threat value.
So I think if you pick X-Men at 15, for Gamma in particular, because of the option for Wakanda, you're doing it when you want to brawl. And that's perfectly valid. I think if you look at your opponent's roster and you decide, actually, I'd rather brawl this out, maybe they pick a very slow extract to pair with it or something like that. And the brawling teams I like have MODOK.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth mentioning that MODOK with Storm's leadership Gamma obviously threatens to double attack anyone that is contesting the central point, which is really, really strong. And I think for that reason, it's not guaranteed that you want to pick Cyclops leadership, I could kind of see myself going either way. Big
Yeah.
challenge with it on 15 in particular is you don't have characters who are good at generating power to fuel Cyclops. Like you can't have MODOK and Shuri in your X-Men roster at 15, for example.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I think
Yeah,
if I
so.
ha if push came to shove, I would be looking at Cyclops, Storm Beast, MODOK, or Storm Beast, Wolverine, MODOK.
Yeah, and I like both those fine. I think at 15 you probably don't have Cyclops be the leader. I think you have Storm be the leader and you make the most out of MODOK, and then you keep a similar affiliation and maybe throw in something like Shuri if you end up playing Gamma Wave but at a higher threat value.
100%. Moving on, we've got 16 threat, which Cosmic Invasion or Fisk vows to find witnesses. So you're playing a pretty split secure either way here. What are you looking at here?
So I think these two crises are quite different. And I think this roster is really good at both of them. Because it both well, so maybe we talk about one then the other. With Fisk, you're splitting your roster into two mini teams, right? And you're sending one over to each part of the battlefield. With Fisk, having good pushes is incredibly valuable because those secures are worth 2 points each. And a push can very easily get you a secure. So the Wakandans are going to be great. Having cheap, resilient models to contest is helpful, and Okoye does that well. But then another route you can go is you can just throw in Wolverine. And Wolverine is immune to stun, so he can fight over witnesses all day long. He's hard to displace because of his adamantium skeleton. I think my preferred Wakandan team for Fisk in particular probably includes Wolverine, or I could be persuaded to do an X-Men team featuring Black Panther and Shuri.
Yeah, I could see either way. I'm pretty happy with just Wakandans down the line here. That I think that's a perfectly fine roster.
Just
But
having
you
Killmonger
can,
instead of Wolverine.
yeah. Or I think Wolverine's perfectly fine as well if you're having a good time with him here. But I think I'm just a bit too addicted to the five wide Wakanda Forever
It is pretty
ideal.
cute, right? It's pretty
Yeah.
cute, and the fact you can do it at 16 threat is quite scary.
Yeah, but yeah, I think either Wolverine or Killmonger in that spot, never Cyclops, is just a solid 16 threat roster that I would be perfectly happy playing on Witnesses.
Yeah. What do you think then for Cosmic Portals?
So Cosmic Portals, you're splitting into three groups rather than two. So typically, I want some kind of backline babysitter, which is probably Shuri. Though you can make the case for Cyclops here because of hit and run. If once you've got him set up, he walks off the point, shoots, and walks back. Very reminiscent of Hawkeye, but a little bit more powerful. So I would be looking for a team that either has Cyclops or Shuri or both. I like Storm here because with a small push, the mobility of the Storm placement, it doesn't quite make up for a small push, but it also helps you kind of more easily threaten other secure points off of it. So, like, if you're happy with your left flank and you want to try and go after your opponent's home, you can port somebody forwards and then maybe double tap if they're Storm or Cyclops, or move and then attack and be on the point with a Beast Wild or Wolverine's big attack. There's
Yeah.
some ways to make it work.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's a little bit awkward for the X-Men in this configuration, or indeed just for the roster in general, is there's quite a lot of range characters in this 10, right? We've got Storm, Cyclops, Shuri, and MODOK. And I'm not advocating for MODOK playing Cosmic Portals in general, but even that aside, you probably only want one of those characters to guard your back point. You can make use of the others, but they're not going to be at their best necessarily.
I do like Storm on a side point because I think stealth makes it really annoying for an opponent to trade effectively with whoever their back point babysitter is. So you purely have to deal with the people that they actually send to that flank rather than the backline support.
I can see that, but I think you just have to be very aware of what characters your opponent's going to take if that's your plan, because Storm is so fragile if a close range physical attacker gets to her. It could be a good plan, but it really depends what you're up against.
Yeah, so I could see pairing Storm with Okoye on a flank and being perfectly happy. Play the range advantage game. Storm is the more aggressively positioned one. Okoye is more defensively positioned. Maybe not even on the point if you think they're not going to be able to reliably dislodge Storm. And then Storm takes whatever attacks you think she can take, and then Okoye makes sure that she doesn't actually get dropped.
Yeah. The core characters that I like for just being mobile and flexible on this crisis in the roster, Black Panther, Beast, and Toad. I think you want one or two of them in your squad no matter what.
Agreed. How do you feel about Storm, Black Panther, Beast, Wolverine, Toad?
Ooh.
So
I
the
like
main
it.
Downside got... here is it doesn't have a nice backline cheerleader. I guess you could put Storm back there, but
yeah, Storm's fine in that role, right? She's got stealth.
Yeah. So here you would have to figure out some allocation you're happy with. I guess like Panther, Beast, and then Wolverine, Toad on the other flank.
Yeah, I like that squad. I think you've got a lot of options for how you configure it depending on the terrain and what your opponent's taking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes Toad grabs an objective and then goes and babysits the back, right?
Yeah.
And that's just fine if he's scoring you 2 points a turn. And then you have a couple of like seven threat wings going to either side. And sometimes Storm is on the back and you've got a stronger wing and a weaker wing. But in any case, you've got a lot of mobility and you've got a lot of flexibility in how you adapt to the game as it unfolds in future turns.
Yeah. We talked about how we don't want to play MODOK on portals, but how do you feel about MODOK on witnesses?
I think he's valid, because I think you just send him after one of the flanks and then he plans to beat up anyone that tries to take that witness. I would pair him with a cheap character like Okoye, and she can go and grab the witness while he terrorizes the people trying to stop her. I think that's a perfectly fine game plan.
Yeah, I could definitely see playing something like BP, Shuri, Okoye, MODOK, Toad here. Depending on the extract situation, if Toad's going to get a lot of value out of his extract tricks. Not as beefy of a fighting team, but I think MODOK plus Okoye will somewhat reliably win a flank, depending on
yeah,
how much
you
it's allocated.
You have this weird kind of interaction, which I like, right? Which is you've got two flanks with different game plans, but because the witnesses are so far apart, it doesn't matter that the two game plans are very different, because you're winning each side in a different way.
Exactly.
And you can try to give your early activations to MODOK so that he can overwhelm his flank, and the Wakandans can wait towards the end and start pushing people off and scoring their side.
Yeah. Before we move on to 17th threat, are there any particular roster combinations here that catch your eye that we haven't covered? Out of the 40 some odd.
I mean, I think we named a couple of, we named a bunch, right? What I would say is, once again, I don't think this is a place for Cyclops, certainly not on Cosmic Portals, and it would be a bit weird to me that you can make him work on Witnesses, just because you don't want... It's possible, but I think probably not. I think the lists we covered are all really good, and those are they're my preferred choices.
Good enough for me. Let's move on to 17 threat, which is the total Wild West. There's essentially no assumptions we can make about the crisis here. So I think we're just looking for just combinations and good coverage that we like. I forget, is it possible to play six wide here? It is. There is exactly one six wide roster available to us. And
you've got to start with that, right? Because I think that is a really cool option that you definitely might want to choose at 17 threat.
Yep. So this is going to be Black Panther, Storm, Beast, Shuri, Okoye, and Toad.
Mm. Yeah, really cool. So you're playing Wakanda. You've got four characters for Wakanda Forever, and then you're supplementing that with two really fast, flexible characters in Beast and Toad. So your objective scoring game is great. Mm-hmm. Because you've got six characters to source the cures. You've got the pushes from Shuri, Panther, and Wakanda Forever. But on top of that, your extract game is great because you've got Toad and you've got Beast, who are really good at grabbing extracts early and holding onto them.
Exactly. I would definitely be a little bit hesitant to drop this if I thought my opponent was here to brawl something like a MODOK shell or a Black Order team, or even, hell, even Asgard. Once Angela and Enchantress come out, I'd be a little bit nervous about dropping six wide into that. But if you're playing against something that doesn't do quite as much damage, I think this is a very scary scenario focused team that is essentially guaranteed to have a VP advantage round one, unless you screw up, because you have the last activation, so you should be able to push people off stuff in a pinch.
Yeah, and you're very good at grabbing extracts too, so I agree you should have an advantage. I would be very happy with this team. I think, as you said, its biggest problem is really going to be when it's playing a very different game plan to the opponent and they end up racing on different axes, right? And it gets in that situation where it's trying to score points quickly and its opponent's trying to kill it. Really, that comes down to how many victory points are on the table. And at 17, it could be any number.
Yeah.
But I think more victory points are up for grabs, the better this team is going to be. And actually, I think if this is something like Cosmic Cubes or Spider Infested plus a 4-point secure, because that's the most common, right? And there's 9 points on the table. This team, to me, just seems absolutely superb in that environment.
Yeah, 100%. As long as you don't think your opponent's going to splat you on the window, this is a great team to just get an early advantage in and ride it out.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, even the teams that are trying to kill me, I'd just say they're welcome to try at that point. You know, I will just try to score 5 to 6 points a turn and hope they don't table me by turn three.
Exactly. Admittedly, if we were going to play a little bit more conservatively and play one of the five wide options, would you be looking to fit in MODOK here, or how would you go about it?
So I think we have to discuss the MODOK options, right? Because he's the character that makes our teams more brawl focused.
Yeah.
And I think if you're playing a split crisis, like say Infinity Formula, you can do a similar thing to we mentioned with Witnesses, and you can have a MODOK side, and then you can have a pull push side. I also think this is the kind of threat where MODOK plays with Storm's leadership start to become very real. And for example, one of the crises we need to consider is Deadly Meteors, which is one that our roster is not particularly good at. But what we can do is we can move Beast in front of MODOK, teleport MODOK with Storm's leadership, and have him double attack 2 out of 3 of the Deadly Meteors. And that kind of threat gives us a strong counterplay into that crisis.
Yeah, you highlighted something there that I think is going to become more and more apparent the longer X-Men are out. There are so many weird openers you can do with Storm's teleport ability that just completely change how crises are played. So I think if you're going up against X-Men and you know it's somebody who's been playing X-Men for a while, pay very close attention to their deployment and whatever crisis they pick, because they've probably got some kind of opening plan to abuse that mobility trick.
Yeah, the number of options you have with X-Men are just crazy. I've enjoyed playing them so much because of that. They really reward creative uses of that leadership. One piece of advice I have for playing against them is on turn one, it can be really difficult to consider all their moves, and it can lead to a very conservative turn if you try and avoid all of them. And sometimes it can be valid just to accept they're going to do one powerful thing because they can't do everything.
Yep.
And rather than trying to avoid them doing four different things on four different places on the table, just let them do one of those things, and then you can do what you want in the other three places.
Yeah, I think that's a great assessment. I don't think they're that much above the curve in terms of like outright power, but they can do some really silly things with that leadership. And if you play assuming like you're trying to cover everything, then you're essentially giving them the benefits of doing all of those things instead of just doing one of those things. It reminds me a lot of in Magic the Gathering, there's a lot of problems where when you're playing into a control player who has counter spells that can like basically cancel your cards, right? A lot of times people will incorrectly hold their cards to avoid them getting counterspelled. When very often the best play is to just run out your card, force out the counter spell, and just try and make it so that they run out of counter spells before you run out of things you want to do. Whereas if you hold all of your cards, being afraid of them having a counter spell, well, then they're going to be able to counter that stuff, and you're just giving them extra turns of advantage that way.
Yeah, exactly.
So running face first into something you're afraid of, if they're going to be able to hold it for a while. I think is a very good play to make.
Yeah, I like that a lot. But yeah, this for me is, I think those are the two main teams to consider at 17th threat, because I think they're the two most unique options. This six character build, I think, is awesome. And the fact that Storm opens it up for Rakunda is really good, because traditionally, high model count teams have come from Guardians. And I think the quality of the Wakandan leadership and tactics cards is so much higher than Guardians. Being able to do the same game plan, but with much better support, is just more powerful. So I
100%.
really like this team option. And then the threat of MODOK is just completely on the other end of the spectrum, and also something your opponent has to worry about.
The last team that I would consider is a slight modification on our six wide, and that would be Black Panther, Storm, Beast, Shuri, Killmonger. And this would be specifically for if your opponent has a expensive threat like a Hulk, like a Thanos, like a MODOK, that you really want to one round, and your plan here is to do an all you've got usurp the throne on them and basically trade your four for their five, six, seven, eight, whatever threat heavy. I don't think it's going to be the common play, but I think especially considering how many cards we put into Wakanda here, I think it's a perfectly valid play if you're staring down one of those hard to kill scary pieces on the other side of the board, and you're not sure if you're going to be able to deal with it otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And I think it's worth mentioning that you could potentially, if that's your game plan, you could potentially try to work in a four character team with Cyclops, where he has that option to move Killmonger out of activation. You could even look at something like, it's tough actually. You could look at something with Cyclops, Killmonger, and MODOK. But at that point, I think you're just giving up too much. It's cute, but I prefer your version.
Yeah, there's a number of variations. It doesn't have to be quite exactly that one. I think there's BP, Storm, Killmonger, Wolverine, Toad, or Okoye, works just fine doing a very similar job, especially if there's a range of high quality characters. Again, like Asgard, where they've kind of got a double threat with Thor and Angela. Being able to have two heavy beaters in the form of Killmonger and Wolverine together might be very attractive. And if you can fit in MODOK somehow without breaking affiliation, I'm looking through the team combinations for anyone that has all of them, but it's rare if it exists at all.
Yeah, you can do something really weird and unique, but I just don't think it's worth breaking team, right? Like, I like the idea of having like MODOK Cyclops and Killmonger altogether, but I wouldn't want to give up affiliation for it. You know, if this was a X-Men Criminal Syndicate roster, then sure. Or X-Men Cabal, great. But that's not what it is, so it's probably not the roster to be doing that particular game plan.
Exactly. Moving on up to 18 threat. Here we've got Hammers, and we've got Mutant Madman Turned City Center into Lethal Amusement Park, which is the second of the Secure and Move On secures that we've seen alongside Spider Portals. Oh, actually, no, it's the third because of Origin Bombs.
Yes, but it's the first on a B where you can secure and move on, and it's the first that uses physical defense, which is a big deal, right? And our roster is full of four physical characters.
Also, two physical in the form of MODOK, but
he's not going to be securing many of those things, but he doesn't need to, right? Because you've got all these other options.
So what stands out to you here? I think there's a vast majority of Wakanda rosters at this threat value. I don't know quite why.
Yeah, and actually, I don't particularly like Wakanda on either of these crises compared to X-Men. Mm-hmm. So even though you can build a lot of Wakanda, I don't think you're going to do it for these crises. You'd be doing it for whatever's been paired with them, which would be totally
fine. Hammers is a classical pain point for Wakanda, because making Wakanda Forever costs two per character. No bueno.
Yeah, and generally speaking, pushes are less valuable on secures where you don't actually need to be securing them to score them the points, right?
Exactly.
So I would be looking towards X-Men here. And in particular, I love that Storm's leadership lets you grab a hammer in the middle of the table, one of the ones on either side, and escape with it completely free of repercussion. And I'd be picking an X-Men roster that can leverage that, especially if I've got priority. And I'd have one side where I have a lot of ranged characters, Cyclops or MODOK, threatening whoever takes that hammer. And on the other side, my plan would be for somebody like Beast to use the leadership first turn of round one, grab the hammer and run away.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of something like Cyclops, Storm, Wolverine, MODOK, Toad here.
Yeah, I think that's good. I would consider Cyclops over Wolverine in this particular iteration, but
Cyclops is already in there. That would be Cyclops, Storm, Wolverine, MODOK, Toad.
Oh, beg your pardon.
So there's a bit of a weird interaction here where to fit in MODOK, it actually becomes really difficult to fit in Storm and Beast at the same time. At least Storm, Beast, and Cyclops. I'm not sure if that's actually possible.
That's 15, so it's definitely possible.
You would have to bump Toad to something, though. A 3 cost. So Shuri. Actually, I like that a lot better. The problem there, then, is that you're so backline heavy at that point. Storm, backline, Shuri, backline, MODOK, backline, Cyclops, backline. Your only frontline is going to be Beast there. So I would probably index out of that a bit and get some of your tankier frontline characters up. Though, admittedly, Cyclops is reasonably tanky once he gets enough power going to reliably use his tools.
Yeah, I think on the right... So if we look at... I don't think this is what you're picking for Mutant Mastermind, right? But for Worthy Hammers, I think something like this is pretty interesting, where... If it's paired with a relatively spread out secure, you can have this plan of getting three of the four hammers and one or two secures, and then playing very defensively with this team of blasters and just trying to annihilate people as they come into you.
Mm-hmm.
And your opponent's left in this spot where you've got all this firepower at range with loads of hammers. And if they leave characters back for their secures, then they're going in piecemeal and they're probably getting annihilated.
Yep, and then once you start layering cover on that from Storm, even at this point, a lot of your backline characters have super nasty spenders, and they're probably going to be clustered together in the mid to late game. I could even see going for Cyclops leadership here.
I think that would be if the secure brings everyone together, right? If you're doing like hammers plus a secure that pulls everyone into the center, then I could definitely see Cyclops here.
At 18, we also get more options in the 6 wide. Essentially being able to upgrade beasts to a 4 cost from our 17 threat 6 wide options, or do a number of other variations where you spread the love a little bit more. Is there any particular love for 6 wide here?
So it's worth noting you also get the option to do 6 wide X-Men here, if that's
Oh
something that
yeah,
appeals
I
to
didn't
you.
even see that.
You can take all 4 X-Men plus Okoye and Toad. You can use either leadership, and you have quite a good diverse range of characters there, right? You've got mobility, you've got resilience, you've got range. So that could be another really flexible option.
Yeah. I'm just trying to see if there's any other outstanding teams I like here. Oh, an another frontline version of the team we were discussing earlier. Cyclops, Storm, Wolverine, Okoye, MODOK.
That team is pretty good at brawling and pretty resilient.
Yeah, and I think it's got a good mix of characters that like being frontline, characters that like being backline, and then Okoye, who can kind of play as forward or as back as you want, either supporting Wolverine on the front line or keeping MODOK safe if somebody's all in on it, all you've got assassination on him.
Yeah, I know we can't say enough good things about Storm's leadership on this cast, but I'm going to throw in one more, which is I think it's worth emphasizing. We haven't mentioned it already. Okoye is so good with Storm's leadership, right? The combination of martial artist with cover outside of range two makes her incredibly resilient to damage at any range.
Yep.
And she wants to be within range two of her buddies so that she can bodyguard them. So she can act as this point where she can leapfrog over people or they can leapfrog over her. Or she can more easily get back into position if she's controlled, so that she can continue to bodyguard.
Yeah, St Storm's leadership is just such an amazing toolbox. Like,
Yeah. It's real good.
But unless there's any other 18 threat teams we want to discuss, let's bump on up to 19.
Just one question for you on the 18. We've mostly talked about hammers. What is your preferred team for Mutant Mastermind?
Ooh. So I kind of like Wakanda on Mutant Mastermind because I really like Black Panther here. I like Killmonger here.
Yeah, that's good. You could throw in, I think you've got to throw in Beast.
Yeah, so that's a good 11-point base there. So we're looking for another 7. I could either see Okoye MODOK. I could see Shuri Wolverine, Storm Wolverine. I think there's a lot of variations here, but I think having BP and Killmonger on this as mobile for physical defense characters alongside Beast, I think that's like the core you really want to put forwards to try and abuse the interact mechanic.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting setup where you can have Black Panther on one side, Beast on the other, and you can threaten to take either of your opponent's secures on round one. And both characters are tough, they're very good at taking the secure with their 4 physical, and it can be really difficult then for your opponent to deal with them and also take it back.
Exactly. I think there's definitely some good play there. Where you've got the mobility, you've got the tankiness, you've got the interact advantage probably. And you can leverage that in a lot of interesting ways.
Yeah, I also really like your inclusion of Killmonger because when you're expecting everyone to skew towards physical defense, it's nice to have a character who himself has lots of physical defense for the crisis, but whose primary damage is through energy,
Yep.
because you can expect that his damage output is going to be a little bit better than normal, when facing against the opposing team.
Exactly. And especially once you get him on up in there, just being able to make 2 7 dice energy attacks with Pierce onto a target, that'll do a lot of work against most teams.
It's really scary. So yeah, lots of good options there. Next up, we've got 19 threat. So we're looking primarily at Demons Downtown for this, right?
Demons Downtown or Panic Grips City as evacuation efforts continue.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Demons Downtown is in our roster.
Yeah, so we're gonna be more reliably seeing that one. I think Panic is less popular nowadays, especially since Asgard has kind of been in a bit of hibernation until Angela and Enchantress come out.
Biding their time.
Yeah. Just a couple of months until the nightmare that is Angela gets unleashed upon us.
That'll be interesting times, but yeah, for the time being, you're right. So for Demons Downtown, for me, this is where Wakanda starts to take a back seat in deference to X-Men, to Cyclops potentially, and certainly to MODOK, and you start leaning more towards those brawling teams.
Yeah, so my two main priorities here is I really want Okoye and I really want MODOK. Because Okoye, I think Bodyguard is incredibly good on Demons Downtown. Being able to shunt attacks onto somebody who is not incinerated is super valuable.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
But I think MODOK, Cyclops, any long range hitters that can reliably hit anybody who's been incinerated and have good long range builders is very valuable here. So, but with Cyclops, Okoye, MODOK, we've got an 11-point base here, so we're looking for another six. Or not six, eight. Ugh, never do math
So
live.
that 8 is awkward for us, right? Because
Yeah.
if we want to be affiliated to X-Men, we actually can't do that. We've got 2 threes and a four, and we need to take two of them.
Yeah.
So we probably have to sacrifice Okoye if we want Cyclops and MODOK on this crisis. I don't mind that. I think even though Okoye is great, I think it's okay to sacrifice her, and I like the X-Men on this crisis, especially because of Children of the Atom,
Yep.
which we've included in the roster, because it just has extra value when you know you're going to have characters get conditions, and you can guarantee it's going to remove that and give you a power boost when you want it.
Exactly. So here, I'm perfectly fine with running X-Men down the line plus MODOK. It makes me a little bit sad that I can't find room for Okoye, but I'll live.
Yeah, so this is just the four X-Men plus MODOK. You mentioned it
Yep.
already. I think it's a cool list, right? It's good. Of that list, the character who I like least for this crisis is Beast, who has been my favorite up until this point, because his defensive rerolls get a little bit less valuable when he's got fewer dice.
Yep.
And his main strength is his mobility, which is not emphasized on this crisis at all. So I could see swapping out Beast for a three, but I mean, our candidate there really is Shuri, and she is not particularly exciting on this crisis either.
And especially considering how much you're already indexing into backline, I definitely want a front line. But Beast is a bit unfortunate here just because his energy defense is a two, and it going down to a one with Incinerate is just so painful. Because it
It's not
basically
good.
nullifies his reroll ability entirely at that point. Maybe you get one success, but people are just gonna beat up on you just so they can get free power at that point.
Yeah, but on the other hand, Wolverine is great on this. Cyclops is great on this. So I think the team is still very happy to play this crisis, which is why it's in the roster in the first place.
Yeah, 100%. I'm trying to look at the six wide rosters because we're actually at a tipping point where six wide rosters almost outnumber the five wide roster options.
Yeah, have you
There's
got
a
so many
couple
cheap
of
characters?
X-Men options that I don't mind here. So both of them are all four X-Men plus Shuri and either Toad or Okoye. I don't know. If you're playing the right kind of scenario off of evacuation and it's not Demons Downtown, I could see playing that, but I don't think I would want to play this on Demons Downtown.
No, I don't think so. Maybe, like you said, in the right evac, but probably not. I really like Killmonger in this crisis. And I think we could consider a team that slides in Killmonger, either an X-Man team in place of Wolverine, or trying to get another Wakandan team that is running as much Wakanda Forever as possible.
Yeah, I think either of those are fine. I actually really don't mind Cyclops, Storm, Beast, Killmonger, MODOK.
Scary.
Yep. Storm's leadership helps him survive until he gets to pop off and then helps him with a little bit of mobility. So maybe he doesn't even need charge because you're condensed on this vertical column. And you can just start off with a Black Ops strike, teleport onto your target, and keep on going from there.
Yeah, definitely seems good to me. I think it's interesting the combinations we've talked about. You can definitely pick and choose your Wakandan to complement the X-Men on this, but I think you're primarily going X-Men. I like, by the way, the going back to the idea of swapping out Shuri for Beast. I know you dismissed it as not having enough backline characters, but I think this is a great example of where you do have Cyclops as the leader, right? Where you have Shuri helping to power up, and you have MODOK. And you have the situation where Shuri and MODOK and Cyclops all together are reliably generating power, and they and Storm are all fueling each other to get your spenders out. I think
Well,
that could
so
be
at
pretty
that point,
powerful.
I would actually seriously consider cutting Storm. If you were planning on playing a Cyclops focused roster, you could play Cyclops, Shuri, Beast, Wolverine, MODOK. And that kind of helps with a bit of the balancing issue that I brought up, where you've got too much backline. Well, now you swap out one backline piece for another. And if you aren't using Storm's leadership, I think it's way more acceptable to swap her out for Shuri.
Yeah, love it. And you also have a situation then where you can have Beast and Wolverine grab extracts early and then come to the center in later rounds. And you have this three character team in the middle, Cyclops, MODOK, and Shuri, dishing out lots of damage, doing lots of control, doing lots of movements. Seems great.
Yeah. Any other standout teams before we move to 20?
No, I really like that last one. That's the first team I've seen that makes me say, yes, Cyclops' leadership in that team is awesome.
Yeah. Once you pair him up with a battery, I think it gets a lot more attractive.
Yeah,
But
definitely.
moving on to 20 threat. So at this point, it is literally just alien ship crashes in downtown. So depending on your interpretation, this is a dead scenario. Or this is a super obnoxious keep away game. Virtually all the teams here, or more than half, are six wide. I think this is really going to come down to what the other half of the crisis is. But yeah.
So we're never picking this one, right? So
Yeah.
it's coming with one of our secures, and that's something we can consider when we choose our team.
Exactly.
I think that's quite important because traditionally this is a crisis that people pick when they want to slow the game down, and it's a favorite in particular of brawly teams that have a reality gem character, so that they can take advantage of random rolls to grab the alien power core. So if we assume it's something like Black Order, as an example, or maybe some like mean cabal or criminal syndicate team that's also running Corvus, like those are the teams that we probably don't want to brawl with, but we probably want to be picking our fastest secure.
So this is probably going to be Gamma if we get the choice, or Fisk if we lose Gamma, is what I'm guessing, typically.
Yeah, which funnily enough, makes me think that maybe we want to be playing Wakanda, or at least we want to be playing Shuri and Black Panther.
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with Wakanda here. I really like what's it called? All five Wakandans plus a fourth threat of your choice. It's kind of hard to fit MODOK into Wakanda at this threat value without cutting some important pieces, but it is possible. You could do Black Panther, Storm, Shuri, Okoye, MODOK, and Beast.
That seems fine. I kind of want Killmonger in the team because I'm assuming my opponent has a plan for a reality gem character to pick up the power core, and I want a way to kill that character. Is there a Wakandan team we can do that has Killmonger and MODOK?
Yeah, so I think the one that stands out to me is essentially the previous roster, but you cut Storm for Shuri. So this would be Black Panther, Shuri, Killmonger, Okoye, MODOK, and Toad.
Yeah, seems good. I like that you can have a cheeky Toad activation, try and get the core early, for very low opportunity cost. You've got plenty of bodies for the secure, and you've got some kill focus potential as well. Seems really good. I think you might also want to just drop down to five though, and you could turn Okoye and Toad into either Cyclops or Wolverine, and that seems pretty good too.
Yeah, I think if you're going with like a Demon's Downtown game plan where you're playing attrition on the vertical column, I think that's a great choice.
Wow, there's so many good teams that we can make with this roster.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty happy with all the teams we discussed. I think there's again a little bit of pain points on the tactics cards that we didn't really go into depth about while talking about these teams, but we'll fix that when we get to the changes section. I think.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the scenario discussion. So this is going to be three crisis combinations. Each of there's always going to be at least one of your crises in it. And we're going to talk about what threat would you intentionally choose, and would you play a particular team that we didn't necessarily discuss on that threat and crisis combination. So first off, we've got Mutant Extremists plus Infinity. So this is 14 or 17 threat. And it's got an interesting behavior in that since Infinity is a B split and you're playing it alongside a C, you're actually incentivized to not go towards the center because it is kind of scenario barren.
Yeah.
But since it's Mutant Extremists, there's a 1 in 3 chance that you get a huge advantage by going to the middle. So you're kind of pulled in two directions here.
Yeah, and in fact, there's a 1 in 3 chance that you have to go to the middle no matter what, right?
Yep.
It's also interesting because just at the end of your first turn, you don't really want a character sitting in the middle of the table opposite your opponent's infinity formula, right? That is a really dangerous place to be because they're likely going to have a couple of characters facing opposite them. They're likely to be able to put out early damage onto that character.
Yep.
And if they're going first, then it's even more worrying, right? They're going to start with extra power and they're very likely to get a daze or KO.
So here, I think it is very important to force a five wide advantage. Well, I guess it could be also important to retain prio, just in case you're the one who gets the senator and you don't want to get dazed beginning of round one, dropping the senator or round two. What threat are you leaning towards here with this team?
So the option is the 14 or the 17. I think I'd look at my opponent's roster and see what their 14 is like. I think this combination, I'd be quite happy to outnumber my opponent on 14. And
Yep.
if they couldn't do a 5, I would like to run a 5 wide 14.
Yeah, like if this was Black Order, I would love playing five wide against Black Order on 14.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the classic Black Order lists really struggle at 14 no matter what, right? Seems like a great place to be.
So, ugh, if Thanos manages to randomly get the senator, that's kind of game over.
Yeah, so maybe you want to hedge your bets then. Maybe you want to have a more conservative team or go to 17 and try and fit in something like Killmonger to give you an answer to that problem. At least Thanos is rocking the slower speed and the defense reduction, so he's not insurmountable. No, your 14 threat team can incinerate him with Toad, and he starts rolling a single defense dice, and you could chip him down, but it doesn't seem like the ideal plan either.
Yeah, but I think definitely trying to get a man advantage here is the priority. Whatever threat value helps you do that the most.
Yes. And then there might be, I don't know, I haven't really identified myself yet what are the quote unquote best or scariest rosters at 14. I think if your opponent's rosters look amazing at 14, I mean, we talked about how many options you have at 17, you're going to be able to put something together at 17 as a fallback choice.
Yeah, 100%. Next, we've got Herbs plus Witnesses. So this is a very, very strange crisis combination. It's probably going to go to round six unless somebody's able to interrupt somebody scoring the Witnesses. especially because the witness points are by the herb collectors, which means your opponent probably has a bunch of people waiting for you to try and collect the curb, and then they'll just beat you down. What are you looking to play here?
Yeah, so I don't think our squad is particularly good at scoring the herb. We could try it if we're feeling lucky, but I don't think we've got a lot of great plays. And it's worth mentioning in case people forget, you can't use Storm's Leadership while you're carrying an objective. So that is what shuts off what would otherwise be a lot of really live plays for scoring the herb around turn two or three. But because a lot of those aren't really available, I think we have to assume that the herbs are out and we just need to lean hard into the witnesses, putting our stronger half of our squad in towards our opponent's vessel so that if they do manage to score, we have the means to stop them.
Any thoughts of trying to get cute with Toad? Because I think he is probably the best character at herbs in the entire game.
Yeah, even unsupported, he's definitely strong. I think it's totally valid. I think that depends on the kind of player you are. Me personally, I feel like unless your game plan, I just think even the best herb game plans fail a high percentage of the time, and I don't think this is one of those best plans. So for me, I've been burned enough on herbs that it wouldn't be my choice, but I would totally respect if your decision was different and you wanted to give it a go.
Yeah, it can definitely be a very brittle game plan with herbs. So I think here you're just trying to eke out a witness's advantage, and just try and interrupt your opponent scoring more than they interrupt you, and
Yeah.
just be extra careful to block scoring the herbs, because if anybody scores that once, the game's essentially over, because you would have to interrupt them twice while still holding your own twice to be back at a tie situation. So you have to be very careful
Yeah.
about that.
This is going to be a really slow crisis, right? Where you're scoring only for a turn, and it's very likely that you'll have 2-2 rounds. Where neither player is progressing, and even at turn six, right? If you score 2 points each for 6 turns, neither person is winning that game. So this is something where I might try to sneak in Killmonger to offset that, get some extra victory points. And I'd want to consider the resilience of my characters because this is one of those crises that could definitely be swung on how many characters are still standing around turn three and four.
Yeah, I think you made an excellent point about Killmonger here. I think he is great at breaking tied VP setups.
And he's going to have, probably going to have prey, right? In a lot of situations on this crisis, right? Your opponent's pieces are telegraphed into where they're going to be. So, and he's got the time that he can deploy in the center and move over, because you don't really want him to be stunned. You don't want him to be the person contesting on turn one anyway. And he can hunt down whoever it is he needs to usurp. I already like Wolverine on this crisis, but when we're looking at characters that want to survive and grind people down, I think you gotta call out Wolverine as being a strong option, and of course Black Panther as well as being a very tough character who's really good at pushing people off witnesses.
Yeah, I think those are all great points. I think trying to get some kind of Wakanda with Killmonger and Wolverine is a great choice here. That's probably going to put you towards 16. Though I guess you could play like BP Killmonger Wolverine Shuri at 15. I don't think you would love that. I think you would want to try and find a five wide option.
Yeah, I agree that a five wide option would be better. I don't know, it's interesting. And I could definitely see the game playing out in such a way where you're close enough on witness points that the game isn't decided, but your side with Black Panther ends up winning that flank. And he starts making a run with the herb around turn three or turn four, trying to just score it once before the game ends.
Yeah. No, I definitely like that. That's probably my go-to at this roster.
Yeah.
But finally, we've got a super high threat crisis combination in Hammers plus Demons Downtown which I think is just like a staple of this segment, because I love it as just like the hardcore attrition scenario combination, because everyone's defenses are down, everyone's attack is up. Let's see who gets murdered.
Yeah, it's a pretty scary combo, that's for sure.
Personally, I think here
So,
you're always looking for a MODOK shell, and 18 or 19 is more dependent on what your opponent's doing than what you're doing, because MODOK is like the most important piece.
yes, and I think this is either option. It's probably going to be X-Men.
Yep.
I like Storm's leadership on both of these crises with MODOK, and Cyclops could shine as well. So I think you're going to be running primarily X-Men with MODOK. Exactly your combination. There's so many good options here, and the threat is so high that you could pick one of the ones we talked about in the previous segment. But I think you're going to do some amount of customization based on what your opponent is taking.
Exactly. And yeah, you just kind of need to look at what your opponent's doing. Generically, I'm actually leaning towards 19 here, because I definitely feel like people feel comfortable between 15 and 18 threat. And once you start going outside of there, the majority of players actually really don't feel comfortable building teams for that threat value.
Yeah, it becomes too unusual.
Yeah, like people will actively avoid it. I've seen whenever somebody puts a 19 or a 20 down, almost literally always, it's like a 90 plus percent of the time, people will pick the other option. Just because they don't like the idea of playing super high threat. Because they don't play it enough, but then they don't play it because they don't play it enough, and so it kind of turns into this vicious cycle. So being able to play on people's psychology there by forcing them into something they don't feel great about, I think is a very attractive little edge.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think this is a great example of where you might want to play all the X-Men plus MODOK as your team.
Yep.
I think that team is great at hammers, it's great at demons, it's got good card choices to back it up. Seems like a really strong choice to me.
Exactly. That's my default go-to here.
Nice.
Okay, and then finally we come to the what we'd like to change segment. So we're going to go through characters, tactics, and then crises, 0 to 1 changes for each. So starting with the characters, I'm actually not sure if I want to change any of the characters here.
I think the characters are great.
Toad
Really
is the
like them.
only one I would consider for a different two, and
Yeah,
even
that's
then, I'm
totally
very
valid.
dubious about it.
Yeah, because of the list that Toad is going into, I don't think you especially want to change him to a. I don't see the other twos being more appealing. Like, I don't think you want a more killy option in Rocket or Nebula, for example.
Yep.
A Black Widow is interesting, and I already spoke about how Martial Artist is a cool synergy with Storm. I mean, that's definitely true, but then so is Toad, right? The fact that he is more likely to survive to be able to hop away, the fact that he can hop away to take himself into out of range and start getting cover. I think you could certainly swap Toad out and it would be fine, but I don't think you're gaining much from doing so. So I don't think it would be our right choice in this situation. It's not really an upgrade.
Yeah, for me, it's Black Widow or Toad in this spot, and I don't really see anybody else. I know a lot of people like to play Wakanda without Killmonger as an option. I don't think we want to in this scenario, but I could definitely see cutting him because he is taking up a character slot and a tactic slot. So if you never wanted to go attrition Wakanda, like we discussed, I think it could be reasonable to cut Killmonger, but I would not.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the tactic slot is more painful than the character slot. And I would happily cut him for that reason, but I agree that we shouldn't. The character that there's a couple of things we can consider. One for me is a throwaway comment. I won't dwell on it, but I think MODOK is our big beta in this list. You could swap him for someone else. Like you could just straight swap him for Doctor Strange or Magneto, and almost every single list where we talked about why you'd want to bring in MODOK, that same logic could apply to one of those characters.
Actually, one you didn't mention, but Thor, I think would also fit very well into here, because I noticed a number of times we were talking about having too many backline characters, when talking about MODOK rosters. So turning MODOK from a backline beater to a frontline tanky beater, that's the exact same cost. A lot of those problems with the teams that we essentially threw away go away.
Yeah, the only challenge there is if we have the option to have both, then we have to lose something else.
Yeah.
And if we remove MODOK in place of Thor, we lose some of the synergies that we have with Storm's leadership and the large base.
Yep.
I agree that you absolutely could have Thor, or indeed someone like Angela maybe in the future. I think any expensive character can fill the MODOK slot because he is our only expensive character and his main purpose is to be the expensive powerhouse.
Yep, 100%. So I think whatever top-heavy beater, I would be a little bit leery about putting Magneto in, just because I think we're already pretty physical-heavy here.
Yeah, he's expensive, right? He's more expensive. We're running more lots of physical characters already. You could do it, but yeah. I think you're doing it if you love Magneto, not because he's necessarily the best choice in every situation.
Yeah, exactly.
The other option that I wanted to mention in terms of character choices, because that was my first group, was replace MODOK, which I think is totally valid. The other option is I would like to be able to get Taskmaster into this list specifically for the options he opens up with X-Men, because X-Men are in this awkward spot where to be affiliated, they have to have a four-cost character and it makes the rosters expensive.
Yep.
And being able to go Storm, Beast and Taskmaster is a really nice luxury. I mean, it's a luxury we weren't able to afford with this dual affiliation. Mm-hmm. If there was a way to get it to work, I'd be interested.
Yeah, so I think if we were giving up on the attrition Killmonger route, I think turning Killmonger into Taskmaster and a free tactics card slot is very attractive. Taking away Toad closes off a lot of the six wide rosters we were talking about. But I could see turning him into Taskmaster as well.
Yeah. Ooh, I've got one more that I want to mention.
Yep.
Ghost Spider. Ghost Spider is superb in Wakanda Wave lists. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how our Wakanda Wave with Storm is still good, but maybe misses Ghost Spider. Ghost Spider is also superb with Storm's leadership. The ability to place and then get the benefit from Spider Technique twice to effectively get an extra action during her activation is incredibly strong. So she is a three cost character who I would happily have in either team.
Well, she has even more synergies than that because Lifeline, you can pull somebody out of range too and they get cover, even if you can't pull them all the way out of an attack.
That is awesome.
And she loves free cover because she dies if anybody looks at her funny.
Yeah, she's insane with Storm and she's superb in Wakanda. I would love to get her in. But the problem is we've only got two unaffiliated slots and these have really been dictated by wanting a second two threat and wanting a big expensive character. So they've been more dictated by cost than by synergy.
Yep.
Is there a way that we can get her in?
I think again, that goes back to the Killmonger cut, right? If you want to give up on Killmonger entirely, there's a lot of things that can go into that spot that would smooth over a lot of other aspects, but would leave you vulnerable in some of the hardcore attrition sets. So it's a trade-off you have to be comfortable with.
Yeah, you certainly can't have it all, right? Which is one of the reasons this game is great. And talking about rosters is interesting. I personally like the idea of replacing Killmonger in a card with either Taskmaster or Ghost Spider. Mm-hmm. And I think for my personal preference, I would go for Ghost Spider. But I think every one of those options is good.
Yeah, so let's proceed under that assumption that we're swapping out Killmonger and talk about the tactics. So we're taking out Usurp the Throne guaranteed because we've taken out Killmonger in this hypothetical argument. What comes in for Usurp the Throne?
Oh, there's so many choices. So I would like if we could get another Universal card, because our options are a little bit limited. But I also like a lot of the other cards. But let's focus on Universal, just to make our options a bit easier. Right now, our Universal cards, we've got Advanced R&D, we've got Field Dressing, Med Pack.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like in addition to those?
I'm just gonna list off some of the evergreen cards that I'm always looking to put in. Blind Obsession, Climbing Gear, Disarm. What else? If we are as heavily indexed into long range characters, maybe Heavy Firepower.
Ooh, spicy.
So spend two, as long as you're targeting an enemy character that's not within range three of any of your allies, you get two bonus dice to the attack roll.
Yeah, along those lines, if we're going that route, another one to consider would be Battlelust. We've got two characters with long range push attacks, right? With Shuri and Cyclops.
Double
And
pushing is cash money.
Oh, it's so fun. Yeah. So I think that would be another option to consider in that spot. Although the thing about Heavy Firepower and Battlelust in that context is that they're universal cards, but they're also kind of not, right? They're four specific characters, and our cards are already quite restricted. So I would personally choose something like Climbing Gear or Disarm that's always going to be useful.
Agreed. I think that's generically fine. Also, tactical analysis, if we didn't say it. That can get really cute if you tactical analysis and then Cyclops moves somebody and you can just get somebody halfway across the board without before they even activate.
Yeah. There's also a bunch of other cards we could consider that are character specific, right? We could trade out Azurp for a different character specific card. And the two that are at the top of my list would be Aim Lackeys for MODOK or Exceptional Healing for Wolverine.
I personally actually prefer Weapon X program for the mobility because I found Cyclops kind of is a bit slow. It also pairs nicely with his big spender if you get a ton of power, because he can do his big spender, get right next to somebody, and then just guaranteed throw into them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, no matter the cost is also great for Wolverine, but I don't think we necessarily want it here just because space is so tight.
Yeah, I could also see to me my X-Men as kind of like an emergency yo-yo button or undoing a Wakanda push.
I could also see going a level deeper that if we add another universal card like Disarm, we could swap out advanced R&D for first class, which is in a lot of ways like an upgraded advanced R&D when you're playing X-Men.
I like that plan as well. For first class, just free power instead of moving your power around, as long as you're agreeing to use it on, is it picking up and interacts or just interacts? Or
It's
well, this sorry.
does pick things up.
Yeah, sorry. I meant picking up and interacts or just picking up, but it's all of them.
It's all of them. The big downside compared to advanced R&D, of course, is it only works on X-Men. So it needs to be in those heavy X-Men rosters. But at least if you're playing X-Men, right, you're going to have at least three characters. We haven't taken Taskmaster in this roster. So you can expect that it's going to save you at least three power. Which is often better than advanced R&D, but it really depends on the situation you're using that card.
Yeah, advanced R&D I've typically found is used to fix Cyclops or Wolverine. They've got a similar problem that I feel that a lot of par for the course four threat characters have, at least so far in the game, which is they are incredibly powerful once their power generation gets going. But if they screw up their first couple of attacks, or they don't have the power to charge, in the case of Wolverine, they can struggle to get going. And so advanced R&D is kind of just a bit of a push over the lip, or over the line into being fully self-sufficient and functional. So I like that there, but children or not children, first class does a very similar thing. So I'm entirely on board with that.
Yeah, and I mean, as we've gone through these rosters, there have been really valid options for Wakanda and X-Men at every single point. I think this is one of those things where, as a player, you might decide which is your preference, which you're going to be trying to play. when either will do, and then that might hedge you towards more X-Men specific cards or away from them. Hello?
Oh, sorry, I accidentally muted myself. Whoops. Okay, let's move on to crises real quick. I'm pretty happy with my secures. Are there any extracts that you feel are missing?
So I think it would be helpful just to reiterate our crises, because a little while ago we talked about them. The secures you like, it's Gamma Waves, Missing Witnesses, and Demons Downtown. I also like those. I like that there's this overlap where we have Gamma Wave that the Wakandans prefer. We've got Demons Downtown that the X-Men prefer. And then both are happy with Missing Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
I think that works out well. I agree with you that the extracts, there's more room for different options. And in particular, I like Mutant Extremis Target US Centers. I think it's really good that we can do cheap teams, but I don't think it's especially compelling for us.
Yeah, I could see cutting it. Either that or Cube, I think, are the two most likely candidates. In my eyes,
yeah,
so, I'm very happy with Hammers.
Yeah, I really like Hammers too. I would consider... I like the range of threats with Extremists. I would consider having Cubes and Spider-Infested, Spider-Infected, however you say it, just to have always have an option for a very fast extract.
Yeah, forcing an F shape. I could also see fitting in Montesi formula, because there are a number of times where you're very physical damage oriented, so being able to sneak in some energy attacks might be nice.
Yeah, and you've got the Wakandans who are all amazing with the Montesi formula for whatever reason because of their various superpowers.
Yep, and Wakanda Forever with that bad boy because it's zero cost.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, and of course, hey, you've got Storm there now as well, right? Who's one more amazing Wakandan who can empower her whole beam with Eye of the Storm and use Wakanda Forever with it.
Yeah, if you don't care about the stun, Mystic Beam is essentially a strictly better version of what's her frost attack?
Yes. The
Ice Blizzard. Oh, I guess technically Ice Blizzard is physical for reasons, but I would typically prefer it to be energy. So getting two additional dice and changing it to energy at the cost of not doing stun on damage, I am more than willing to take that trade any day of the week.
Yeah. So I think for me, I wouldn't necessarily cut Struggle for the Cube. If I did, it would be to swap it for Spider Infected, but I would like to have both. But to your point, I think Montesi Formula is also really interesting. In any case, the number one thing I'd be removing would be Mutant Extremis Target US Centers.
Yeah, 100%. One of those two, I think it's perfectly fine to cut Mutant Extremists. If you're not feeling great about the game plan, I think it is a very rough scenario if you are not more prepared than your opponent.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think that's going to just about wrap us up. I'm going to try and pull a Professor X and read your mind for some of the plugs you want to do. AcrossTheBifrost.com, Patreon.com/AcrossTheBifrost if you want to support Across the Bifrost, which you should, and Facebook.com/AcrossTheBifrost. Are there any plugs I'm missing?
You are 3 for 3. Well done. We already mentioned, obviously, Across the Bifrost Nexus, which is at AcrossTheBifrost.com that you just called out. If you don't listen to the podcast, it's every week. We release on Tuesdays. That's Tuesday morning, European time, and we cover everything to do with strategy, characters, tactics for Marvel Crisis Protocol. Please do check us out.
Yep. Okay, well, I think that's going to be just about it. So thank you very much for coming on, Pat, and thank you to all of our listeners for listening. Bye-bye.